So change the conversation that you're telling yourself so that the rest of your body can align. And maybe you're not going to be a public speaker on a stage, but when you start to have a conversation with yourself that you are an impactful speaker and that you have something to say to people, then everything starts to align. So it's first reframing the actual words that are coming out of your mouth or the thoughts that are going running around in your head. But also what I think is most important is to really try to understand, where is that coming from? Where is the conversation that you're having with yourself about the negative conversation that you're having with yourself about yourself? Where is it coming from? And bust that thing up so that it no longer takes power over your life anymore.
Welcome to Unscripted Pivots. I am your host, Danielle Sproles, and we are laughing because we're coming off of another earlier conversation. I want to welcome Nicole Miller to the podcast today. Welcome, Nicole.
Danielle, so good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I am thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. I want to tell everybody how I met Nicole. I first met Nicole through an industry organization that we are both part of called Crew Orange County. And the reason that we are put together is that we are both podcast hosts, and they were doing like a special event around how women amplify their voices through podcasting. And so that was really the first time I actually remember meeting Nicole. We might have, like, you know, passed each other before that, but that was it. And I took one look at you on our pre-call, you know, when we were planning this kind of thing and what you were doing. And I was really in such awe and respect of you. And I knew in that moment, imminently, you were one of the women that I wanted to get close to and meet. And that was a decision made on the spot. And that decision, it grows. You are very, very special to me. So welcome today.
Thank you. And likewise, Danielle, I don't even think that we got on our first call to prep for that panel. And I saw your headshot and I thought, I can feel her energy through her photo. And I knew that in that moment, we would be sisters. So the feeling is mutual.
That's really cool. You know what? Let me just mention, since you're talking about my headshot, do you know I've had my headshot, like you, over the years, because we're women in business, taken professionally a multiple amount of times. The only headshots I've ever used over the years are ones that my husband took on the fly with the iPhone, like outside. No, like literally, there is something about looking at him that just relaxes me and somehow brings out my natural energy. All the other things I scrap.
Oh,
so thank you for mentioning that, because that's kind of cool.
Yes.
So Nicole, there's so much about you that I brought you on today because you really are such a strong representation of women supporting women. And you're also, and here you are, you're in construction, although I think that we may be moving a little bit away from that. But what I want to talk about today, since we're starting about, you know, remembering how we were on the podcast event, is that branding. You are the owner of a company called Work. Tell the audience a little bit about Work, even like how you spell it and just the nuances of what it is to mean to brand yourself in this industry.
Yes, thank you. So Work, W-E-R-R-K, is a company that I launched in 2019. And how it started was really by building my own personal brand. At the time, I was at Corey Engineering and I was vice president of sales, and I had a partner in crime who was my husband. He is now my ex-husband. So that's another pivot that we can talk about in just a bit.
He's your husband.
He is my husband. And he's a great business partner. So we do still do some work together. He is very, very creative. And so he realized that I had the charisma to be able to be the face of the company. And so he was like, we're running with this. You're going to be the face of the company. And I took that role on. And I just started to build my personal brand, being attached to the company that I was working with, of course, but I was building my own personal brand, and it exploded. I mean, we had a ton of fun with it because we did some,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, we did some really cool things. I mean, video content, I would do quick little, you know, motivational videos, because that's my passion, is having people realize who they really are in this world. And so I would just make quick little videos. We did really fun things with teams. So Work is all about building brands, building culture, and creating a brand for each company that will attract the appropriate talent for that client. So that's what it is. And then it also has an arm of consulting. So as you mentioned, I am in construction. I've been in construction for the last decade. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people in the construction world. Naturally, it, you know, I've been with subcontractors. I was with a general contractor. And then last October, I was laid off. So there's another pivot for us to talk about. I was laid off from CW Driver. And I was approached by a company, RCSCM. They're a construction management company out of Long Beach. I was approached by them and they said, hey, do you want to do some consulting? And that's the, you know, the moment that I checked in with myself and I said, what do I want to do here? I have an opportunity to create whatever I want it to be. I can go work for another company like I have for the last 28 years, or I can truly step into what I know that I'm made for and create what I want to create. And I did just that. And so work is part of that, but consulting with that company and then also consulting with many other companies for their personal branding and their corporate branding is what I do. So that's work.
You know, I mean, what an enormous pivot, right? Yeah. That you made. And you know, what I want to ask you is, because I've just recently gone through something very, very similar. Yeah. And you were actually there in the moment that that was occurring, which is really just mind-blowing that God has put, and not to get so religious to my listeners, but I am very spiritual by nature. And, you know, Nicole just seems to be there at these pivotal moments in my life. And I think that, that there's a very solid reason for that. But, you know, you were laid off and you reexamined what was going on. Where did you find the courage, right, to say, I don't know what this is going to look like. I just know that I'm going to go forward and do it, right? Because first you identified your path, which is a really big step. But then to move into that moment and space and to disengage with reporting maybe to corporate America and hold your own, where did you get like the courage or, you know, the nerve to do it?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I don't know that I really have an answer other than I'm built to make these types of decisions. All of my life, I've had to make some really tough decisions, but I make the decision and I stick with it and I'm committed to it and I run with it. And if it fails, then I figure out what's next, right? But
yes,
I just have always had this way about me that I make the decision. I assess, right? I had to look and be like, what do I really want to do? Do I want to keep just doing what I've always been doing? Which nothing was wrong with that. I was successful. It was great. I worked for some phenomenal companies and I was treated really, really great, right? But I also had to get real with myself and I too am spiritual. So I got with God and I was like, what is my next turn? You make the decision for me. Like you tell me what we're supposed to do here. And I knew that it wasn't to go to work for another company. I know what my gifts and talents are. And I know that if I don't use them, I'm going to lose them.
Absolutely.
So that was my moment to be able to really step into what I'm created for.
And, you know, you having that leap before I did, right, by a matter of maybe 5 months has really inspired me. And that's really why I want to share that message. So anybody that's listening, that's struggling or in a similar space right now, you know, these things are possible. And I'll tell you what, they are liberating, right? The sense of freedom when you can come into your own and then you can really grasp onto everything else that it is that you want to do. You know, you don't even realize how suppressed you are until you become not suppressed.
Yeah.
And so I think it's terrific.
Well, just that the spreading of the wings, right? And I think even before you can get into the space of like, yes, I'm going to do this for myself. You have to like take a moment to be calm with yourself and to really believe that everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay.
What I want to say about that too is not even so much like we're doing it for ourselves. I think that the things that you and I stand for and the things we actually do for a career are of service to others.
100%.
And when we're not able to do that, to be of service to the degree that we want to, that can be very, very frustrating. And, you know, I know you as a very authentic person, right? You're pretty transparent. You're polished. You're funny. We both have this kind of like, you know, not serious side, but we can be corporate America in a heartbeat because that is genuinely a part
of
us.
And then
we have. And then we can be playful as hell and just like laugh and cut up. And, you know, that too is genuinely very much a part of us.
Yes. Right?
We're aligned. Let me ask you this, Nicole. How did you maintain your sense of authenticity through all these transitions? Like in about the last, you know, 12, maybe 16 months, you have, you know, gotten divorced, you have changed jobs, you have changed names, right? And you're all about branding. And so how did you change those things and still maintain a sense of authenticity? Like, what was your approach to all of that? Because you were successful in doing that. That I'll tell you. But like, how did you
do that? Thank you. I think this is me. This is me. I am who I am. And all of those things that have occurred in my life, maybe people might call them challenges, but honestly, everything in the last 12 months has been a blessing. It really has. So this is me, and I have nothing to hide. I don't have any shame. I am proud of who I am. And I just lead with, this is me, and come along for the ride type of a thing, right?
And you mentioned the word blessings, and you know what's so important, and it is a very blessed existence, right? To own your own self. But blessings don't always come without pain.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
There's so much discomfort in the growth. This isn't just like, oh, I'm so blessed, I'm so lucky, I won the lottery, right? It is like, you know, to own your own path and to go and follow it, you know, there's going to be some discomfort in that growth. So this leads me to want to discuss, oh gosh, what you were known all about. I'm the WTF lady, right? The women that flourish, why the pain? Everything's WTF, right? What the fuck? You are the self-talk queen. Tell us about self-talk and, you know, how that helps you, how it can help our listeners. The book you're writing, number two, sister, number two.
Yes.
Okay. First, you wrote 17 Undeniable Traits of Leaders in Construction.
Yep.
Now we have book number two coming out. And, you know, tell the listeners all about what you're doing.
Okay. So self-talk, not just, we'll talk separately about the book for a moment, because the book is just the result of everything that has gone on inside of my head, inside of my life. Mm-hmm. It's just who I am and how I've gotten to where I am. Where did it come from? I don't know. I think my mother had a really huge part in how I approach life and how I talk to myself. You know, the people that were around me when I was growing up, I think that they had a really big influence on my mentality and my outlook on life. But I've always been the type of person that talks myself through any challenge that I've been facing. Of course, I have the moments like the rest of us do, right? I have the moments of like, you know, sobbing my eyeballs out and thinking that the world is ending, but it's quick and it's fast. And I bounce back into the conversations that empower me and the conversations that propel me forward. I was working out one morning, divorce was done. I was laid off from my job. I was just getting work, W-E-R-R-K, into the place where I had some clients, more clients. So I was starting to feel established. So I'm in my garage and I'm working out. I just kept hearing like the most important conversation that you have is that one that you have with yourself. And it just was like on repeat. I was like, that's it. And so I was creating a post on LinkedIn about the conversations that we have with ourselves and how powerful they are and how they can either hold us back in life or they can push us forward into who and what we want to be. So
absolutely.
After I got done creating the post, I said, hashtag self-talk. And in that moment, I went, that's it. That is my next book. And so self-talk is a book. It's complete. I'm just waiting for design to be complete so I can publish it and get it out there. But the book is all about self-talk, understanding what self-talk is, how it impacts us from a chemical, from neurological. The research that I've done is unbelievable. And if you truly understood the impact that your thoughts have on the life that you produce for yourself, it is mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So it talks about, you know, I give some examples in the book about just conversations that we might have with ourselves, but also from a scientific aspect, like what happens to our brains, what happens to our bodies, how our brains and our hearts align. Whatever you are telling yourself on the inside about yourself, your body will align.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
It does.
Yeah. I want to take you back. I want to interrupt you because I want to really highlight something that I think is important here. You began this conversation about self-talk with, I just got laid off, I just got divorced, and I was exercising in the gym in my garage. And I want to highlight that, because what you weren't saying was, I was in my bed under the covers, or I was at the bar over drinking, or I was like shopping beyond my credit card's limits. You weren't doing those things, Nicole. You were in the garage taking care of yourself in the way that you had control of in the moment. And it was then that this brainchild came to you. I think there's three things in life that are really important. First of all, we have to be aware, right? Awareness is so key, and it's not usually imminent, okay? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, right? And then we move from awareness to acceptance, of our current state, right? And then we have the last one, and this one's pivotal. It's action. What are you going to do about it, sister?
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
Exactly.
So I just want to say, you chose to be working out in the gym, and you were in the throes of a lot of pivots, right? You know, you were embracing them, but these were not easy moments, and you didn't run scared. You faced them. Maybe you didn't feel so courageous every second of the day, and that's okay, but you did the footwork. So you were in the gym, and here came this brainchild that has launched into a branding, a whole nother level of branding, and a book that's going to help so many people out there. So kudos to you.
Well, thank
Nicole.
You. I feel like that's really the story of my life. Like it's not an option for me. All of the other stuff that you said about, you know, of course I had the moment where I laid on the couch for a little while and watched Netflix and had my moment, but none of that is an option for me. I've got a 9-year-old girl that is watching every single move that I make. So
important.
It's not an option for me. That's not even an option in my brain. It's like, what are you going to do next? And it's going to be better.
Yes, exactly. That's so much. So the book is going to be coming out shortly,
yes.
Right? So it's just in the design phase. And so tell us, like, briefly, how do you publish a book? Like, what? There are so many people out there. We mostly have female listeners, of course, on this one, but that have something that they want to share and say, and they might consider that task so daunting, but gone are the days where you have to be blessed by some huge publisher.
Yeah.
Right? We are able to self-publish today. And what was that process? How did you know which community to align with to actually make this happen?
That's a great question. But before I answer it, I want to say that whole, the process of it can be daunting. That in itself is a way of thinking that doesn't support people to do what they truly want to be doing. So it's like an excuse, right? But we're buying it. So just being cautious, just being aware of the conversations that you're having, and really, like, is it that daunting? It's not. You can hire somebody to help you publish a book. You can publish a book on Kindle through Amazon, you know, and it takes moments. So it's all, I self-publish, and I self-published my last book as well. I think it would be great to get a book deal and have somebody publish it, but I'm not messing around with that kind of thing. I want this book out, and I want to be able to impact lives. You know, hire somebody to get it done. My creative director works on it, and it's all done through Kindle, Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to tap into your knowledge. What practical steps can, like, people take to change the negative self-talk into positive self-talk, right? That shift, right? Because like you said, especially when we get, like, you know, a whammy of a pivot that happens in our life, we're going to take a moment. We're going to watch a little Netflix. We're going to have a chocolate bar. I know what we're going to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But we're going to feel the pain, and then we're going to do something about it.
Yeah.
You're a woman who doesn't consider it an option to just lie down.
Yeah.
So how do you change that?
That's a great question, because it's a process, right? Because it's about what you believe about yourself, but it's also about the words that you say about yourself. So it's, first of all, reframing what you're saying, if it's a thought or if it's words, either way, reframing the thought or the word. So something that I hear all the time is like, oh, I'm so tired. Well, guess what's going to happen? Your ass is going to be tired, right?
Tired. Yeah.
So you tell yourself things that are opposite of what, or maybe, you know, I like to use this one because this is a real life one. And I took the opportunity to say what I wanted to say. And I don't know if it was welcomed feedback or not, but I did. So there was an individual that was like, you know, I'm an introvert and I'm not good at public speaking. I took the opportunity to say, change the conversation that you have about yourself, because the role that you have is to speak to public and to be an extrovert. So change the conversation that you're telling yourself so that the rest of your body can align. And maybe you're not going to be a public speaker on a stage, but when you start to have a conversation with yourself that you are an impactful speaker and that you have something to say to people, then everything starts to align. So it's first reframing the actual words that are coming out of your mouth or the thoughts that are going running around in your head. But also what I think is most important is to really try to understand, where is that coming from? Where is the conversation that you're having with yourself about the negative conversation that you're having with yourself about yourself? Where is it coming from? And bust that thing up, so that it no longer takes power over your life anymore. Most of it comes from our past, right?
Oh, true. We say if it's hysterical, it's historical.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And one of the things that has been just like so valuable to me is the practice of journaling.
Yes.
And I journal daily, and I'm not going to tell you, I like it every day. And sometimes, it'll be like 10 o'clock at night and I'm like, Danielle, did you journal a couple pages? Because I consider some real magic that happens in that moment. That first few, maybe, paragraph or page will just be a brain dump.
Yeah.
Right. Or like a little complaint, channeling some, anxiety or complaints. But really at the end of the day, what starts to come out of that, and I believe that's very spiritually influenced, I'm like, aha, aha.
That's where it's at.
That's where it's at. That's, because we're always seeking to better understand, how we're feeling, what we're doing. And that is, one of many practical tools that you can utilize to find the information you need to, do what it is that you want to do or to change it is how you feel.
Yeah. Journaling is exceptional. Absolutely. And it is a great way to kind of get it all out, right? Intentional. Mm-hmm. I think it being intentional about what the objective is like, if I can journal about whatever I might be feeling, then I can maybe get to the bottom of it. Also with meditation, being very intentional about, I want to understand myself. Help me understand me so that I can be a better me, so that I can stop having these conversations that aren't serving me.
Absolutely. Meditation again, too. I mean, that's not necessarily an easy practice for me because I'm like you, like I'm on the go, go, go. And a couple years ago went and I found myself a transcendental meditation teacher. And so I could get a little bit schooled on that to do that 20 minutes twice a day. I'm not going to tell you because I would be lying that I practice that wholeheartedly. But what I will say is that I completely agree with what you're saying about meditation, because in meditation, there is silence, right? Now, listen and silent are the same exact letters, just rearranged differently. And when we listen, this is where we're going to get what we're looking for.
That's very true.
There's no doubt about it, right? So silent and listen are the same letters, just rearranged. So
you and your meditation letters. You is like very the letters. Powerful.
I do. I am such a letter nerd.
I know, but it's great.
But if you asked me to do some math equations, maybe fifth grade level, same. You would lose this, sister.
Yeah, okay? Me too. We're in the same boat on that one, so we're good.
Yeah. Nor am I strong in geography. If you tell me where to go, and if I don't have GPS, you're not seeing me. I'll be on my way to Texas. But letters and me and writing, I love it all day long. I love it all day. Let me ask you this, because we're going to wrap this up soon. I want to know, because it's always like so cool. What would you tell your younger self about leadership and branding? Like, what do you wish she knew? Now, we all like all the things that happened because it brought us where we are today, and that's all good. But what would you tell your younger self? And then tell me, too, how old you are in your head that you're speaking. Is she 9? Is she 15? What came to you?
Oh, the age, around the age, I probably was like 8 or 9 or somewhere in there. So when you said that, I envisioned myself maybe around that age, fairly young. Mm. And it would be to be courageous, to be courageous and to not care what anybody else thinks, but to lead with what you know you're supposed to lead with because it's right.
Yes. And at what point do you think you actually accepted that as your truth? Because that's where you are today. So at what point in your life do you think you accepted that as truth?
I think at a very young age. Again, your environment is so critical to who you are today, right?
Yeah.
And the environment that I grew up in was fantastic. And, I mention it in my book, but Nobody told me that I couldn't do anything. Everybody told me that I could do whatever I want to do. So at a very young age, I felt like I could conquer the world.
That, you know what, it's so encouraging to have what I'll call a hype squad. Before I even go into that, because that'll be my last question to you, Nicole, what is the name of your book? What are we looking out for?
It's Self-Talk.
It's called It's Self-Talk by Nicole Miller.
Yeah.
All right.
It is Self-Talk.
I love it. Yeah. And I think you even trademarked that, right?
I did.
Yes.
Big bold letters. You won't be able to miss it. It's a teal cover. So it's very in your face type of a thing. So yes, Self-Talk.
I think this is great. Now, when you're talking about getting the encouragement you did, and you were believed in yourself because other people around you were believing in you and expressing it, and you're very fortunate in that regard. And I had a whole lot of that too, right? I really, really did. So we were both blessed. But how important is, and give me another term other than hype squad, you know, those people that come to you and they're just like supporting you and elevating you and encouraging you at it. The wisdom we get through the feedback, and you are that for me, even though we know each other only a short time. And we both want to be that for other people, particularly women. And it is very much embedded in our career and our movement, and the way that we spend our time and our money is helping these other women.
Yeah.
So what would you say about, you know, Hype Squad? And have you been really supported in all these changes? Because there's been many. There's been many, and we shed some relationships as we leave companies and we leave industries. Okay.
Yeah.
But we still are who we are.
Yes.
Right. An even better version. But, you know, are you happy with your Hype Squad today? Do you have enough people? Do you think you're given enough time to be that for somebody else?
I absolutely do. I feel like those people are called our balcony people, right? Those are the ones that lift us way above the rest of it, way above the noise. Because I think for any individual, it's easy for us to get caught up in the noise. And you are one of those people. These are the people that you have in your life that, hey, say, no, don't, you're not listening to any of that noise. Just full stop and remember who you are. And it's people like you. It's people like Brendan Clements, who I adore. And I actually...
Yes. Oh, I adore him too.
He is he is so authentic in the way that he just admires people. Having people like you, I mean, that could go on and on, people that maybe you don't even know in my life, but it's having the right people in your life that remind you, because we all have those moments. We all have the moments of like, man, like, am I on the right track? What am I doing? Like, is this
right?
Like, what am I?
Yeah, I still see our coffee where you were looking across the table just a few months ago before the big pivot of me being laid off and leaving the industry, like literally going, okay, you know what? This is it. This is my exit, right? This isn't, you know, and I immediately got some job offers and I knew that I would just be selling myself out for another paycheck if I was to continue to say yes to title insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, things come with a season. I think some things in our life come with an expiration date. You know, not everything is supposed to remain to stay, except that, you know, the trueness of our spirit and just honoring that and growing with that and having people, you know, look across that table and look at you like you're going to be more than okay.
Oh, it is. It's, gosh, it's like, if you just knew how okay everything is going to be, right? It's interesting because we live our lives forward, but we understand it backwards.
Yes, that's a very true statement.
Right?
That's
and
a very
I'm
true statement.
I'm in that season of my life now where I can finally, I'm able to look at the last 29 years of my career in corporate America, and every single step that I took and every single person that I encountered, it all makes sense. Every single piece of it makes sense. And there's more to come, right? That I'm probably going to be like, what, why is this happening? And what is going on? But again,
And in that statement, what I'm understanding is this is proof, positive proof or backwards or whatever, that we don't need to know the outcomes of anything. We just take that next indicated step because the track record, right? God's track record or, you know, our ability to rise, everybody's track record, it's good. It's solid. Like we have evidence that it works out.
It really is.
Yes. Why are we going to, like, you know, doubt that for today?
You don't.
Right?
You don't.
So it's like, do the footwork and, you know, you will get there.
Every day, so, one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. And you just wake up and you do the same thing. And then, you know, it all eventually starts to make sense.
Yeah.
And it's empowering. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that we could be, like, you know, a bright light in the moment, because, you know, there are times where we need to borrow somebody else's flashlight, you know, say, hey, please shine this down on me,
yeah,
sister, because, like, you know, I'm not feeling it and I don't have it. And then, you know, you give a little bit of yours to them, and then that happens in the other way. I could talk to you for hours. This is really only going to be one of, I believe, a series of conversations, because there's some very specific topics that I think that you and I can, like, dive in and dial down into. So, you know, you will be, you know, on Unscripted Pivots. If you'll have me, I'll have you.
Gosh, yes, of course. Yes.
And let you get settled into your thing. I can't wait to see that book come out, Self-Talk. It's going to have a big, bright, turquoise colored thing. I will definitely be hyping you up on all of my social media platforms and celebrating that. And you know what? Thank you for being somebody who inspires and, you know, who just doesn't even compete. You know, that's what's so beautiful about you, right? You just are all about sharing the love and the knowledge and the wisdom and the joy.
Yeah.
Right? And
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you.
You are.
Yeah.
And so we are the people that we keep company with. I truly believe that. And so I will keep company any day of the week with
all
you.
All day long.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before you go, I'd like to express my gratitude for tuning in to Unscripted Pivots. If you have found value in our conversations, please consider leaving a 5-star rating and a review. Sharing this podcast with someone you know extends the reach of our empowering messages and stories. Your support is immensely appreciated, and it plays a crucial role in spreading the impact of our content. For more engaging WTF, Women That Flourish content, please visit my website at unscriptedpivots.com. Here you'll discover a comprehensive list of all the Unscripted Pivots episodes. You'll get direct links to my Instagram, access to my blog, and an array of free digital download resources for you to take. Your journey with Unscripted Pivots doesn't have to end here. Let's continue to inspire and uplift each other. And stay tuned, because none of these things go seamlessly, and we have some bloopers to share. Oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to change that, Steve. Okay.
All the bloopers in the behind the scenes of a podcast, right?
No. I this is funny that happened. Also, I'm like, through Orange County of Women of Influence.
It was. You could have just rolled with it and nobody would have ever known. They would have been like, oh, that sounds amazing. I could see you the whole time. I was like, Danielle, can you hear me? Can you see me? Hello?
No, I'm glad you could see me the whole time. I'm glad I wasn't picking my nose. Yeah. You literally just left. Okay.
I was here the whole time.
All right.
Okay. So back to where we were. Where were we?